It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they-them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With just days to go before Election Day, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are canvassing battleground states in the Southwest today. Vice President Kamala Harris in Arizona and Nevada, former President Trump also in Nevada and New Mexico. High-profile Democrats are also getting out the vote for Harris. Former President Clinton held an event in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and warned of another Trump term.
The country cannot afford to take a chance on someone who thinks that America should be judged by whether the president of North Korea and Vladimir Putin like us.
Consumer spending up 2.1% in September from a year ago, just shy of the Federal Reserve Board's target rate, the inflation gauge falling to its lowest level since 2021. And the LA Dodgers are celebrating their eighth World Series title, beating the New York Yankees in Game 5 last night. This is ABC News. At least one person has died after a powerful typhoon made landfall in Taiwan. That system bringing winds of over 140 miles per hour to much of the island's east coast and northern areas. A man in Florida survived not one, but two shark attacks. Despite that, he says he's going to keep surfing.
Getting attacked by a shark once might be enough to convince most people to stay out of the water, but not Cole Tashman. The Florida surfer was bitten 10 years ago, and now he's been attacked a second time. Turns out that's still not enough. He does admit when he does go back into the water, though.
First time's going to be really spooky. So I'm going to wait for some super clear water and a place I know there's no sharks.
A shark crunched both his feet, leaving him with injuries that needed two surgeries and nearly 100 stitches. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A major milestone for Meta AI. Barely a year after the social network first launched its AI assistant, CEO Mark Zuckerberg says it now has more than a half a billion users. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
Floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. Happy Halloween. It was dueling political rallies in Wisconsin yesterday. Donald Trump addressed a crowd in Green Bay. Earlier, he spoke at a crowd in North Carolina.
This Tuesday, you have to stand up and you have to tell Kamala that you've had enough, that you're not going to take it anymore. Kamala, you're fired. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here, Kamala. Get the hell out of here.
VP Harris was at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, where she promised to bring people together.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress.
Both candidates will be back in Wisconsin later this week. Meanwhile, the latest Marquette Law School poll before Election Day shows Harris's lead over Trump has shortened in the state. Poll director Charles Franklin says it does remain close.
50 for Harris, 49 for Trump. This is for likely voters. This is a little bit tighter than we were a month ago at the end of September when it was a 4-point Harris lead. It should not surprise anyone if Donald Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Kamala Harris wins.
Harris's lead is within the 4.4% margin of error at the U.S. Senate race, and Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is in a 2-point race with Republican challenger Eric Hovde, 51-49%. It could be a winter coat night for trick-or-treaters across most of Wisconsin. Forecasters say temperatures will be anywhere between the 50s to the 30s by the time kids are out for trick-or-treating this evening. Strong winds will make it feel much cooler. Be careful and watch out for those kids while you're out driving this evening. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
I'm Terry Schoonover, candidate for Assembly in District 29, which runs along the Mississippi River from Trempealeau in the south to Prescott in the north and over to Blair in the east. Our rural schools are hurting. Since 2010, the revenue limit on our school districts has fallen behind inflation by $3,300 per student. That's a huge reduction. Our kids are losing out. As your representative, my first priority will be to increase state funding for our rural schools. I'd appreciate your vote for Assembly on November 5th, paid for by Schoonover for 8029, Bill Brueger, Treasurer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Rain turns into a wintry mix this afternoon as a few snowflakes start to mix in. This as winds are crashing our temperatures, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a wind chill. We can also hear some thunder, and we will clear out and crash cold overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 42.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us here for today's program, powered by our friends at Cenex. Good to be along with you. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Got a great show lined up today. Coming up in segment four, it will be our latest sustainable soy update with the United Soybean Board and the American Soybean Association. Rob Ewalt will join us for that conversation. In segment three, we're going to talk elections, farm bill, and more. Tyson Redpath, the principal with the Russell Group, is going to join us coming up here after the bottom of the hour from D.C. In segment two, we'll have a conversation with Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. A few different issues she has been working on for ranchers. We're going to catch up on those and more with the Congresswoman coming up here in segment two of today's program. Again, powered by Cenex, Bark and Tractor hydraulic fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Go to Cenex.com. for more info. Let's kick off the show, take a look at what's happening in these markets as we close out the month of October. Harvest in the final stretch as well. Matt Bennett with agmarket.net joins us. Matt, good to talk with you again, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, buddy. Glad to be here.
Well, looking at this market action here as of late, it's been quite an interesting month in terms of grain price action. We've had a lot of export business for corn especially, but soybeans too, and you know, kind of closing out the month. What's your thoughts with some of this latest price action across the grain trade overall?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, it sure seems to me that you know, some of these traders are maybe a little skeptical of the demand staying as strong as what it's been. Okay, and so demand's been good. I don't want to throw cold water. It's been really good. We feel strongly that Mexico is front-loading demand. We know that they typically do. And so that's a feature that we would expect. That's going to kind of back off just a little bit. So we don't expect these export numbers to continue the way that they have. But at the same time, it sure looks like the USDA was on to something when they said, hey, we're going to have really strong exports this year. I was skeptical of it, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, but cheap corn usually cures cheap corn. I think the concerning thing for me, you know, we're hearing from some of these ethanol folks. Ethanol numbers, of course, have been awfully good here the last few weeks. Spot margins just don't look that good, you know, with crude on the struggle bus here lately. You know, we are exporting ethanol, a really good thing there. But with the spot margins where they're at, you know, a lot of these folks are working on, you know, for instance, stuff that they've hedged. They're really good at hedging out of ways. We've got to hope that those margins improve somewhat, because there'll come a time, I'm afraid, you know, you can only operate so long. Now, we've seen these plants before have to operate on losses for a while to keep everyone going, because shutting down, starting up again is very expensive. But, you know, I'd like to see those margins improve somewhat. But again, ethanol numbers have been good. So, you know, you start chipping away at this 2 billion carry, and we feel pretty confident that that, you know, is going to settle under 2. But at the same time, you know, if you end up at a 185 or 19, you know, here in a few months, it's not like it's bullish. It's just not near as bearish as what we were talking previously.
I wonder too here, ahead of election day and potential volatility there, you know, looking at some of these basis spreads and things like that. I mean, from a risk management standpoint, should farmers really be considering making some moves, maybe, you know, playing some things out into, say, March corn or Jan beans or March beans, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, what are your thoughts there?
No, absolutely. I think you can start to, you know, maybe roll out, but I do expect these spreads, especially in the case of corn, man, I've got to think that East March is going to get whitened out from where we're at. You see it going on today somewhat. It's a trend we've seen. You know, early in the week, it looked like spreads were going to start widening, and then all of a sudden Tuesday, we go back the other way. It was a little surprising, I will say. But then yesterday, you know, spreads were acting as though we would think they would start widening out again yesterday. Looks like they're widening out some today. Last year, you know, as you got these closer to delivery, we really widened out, and then into delivery. I mean, you got that thing on in March out into the 20s. Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen this year, but I could see high teens for sure. That's a place I'd probably want to go ahead and roll out to. I think if I'm a farmer, you know, to kind of further discussion, and I've got corn sitting in the bin. I've had these calls a lot. Hey, what do we do with all this corn in the bin? It's not priced. You know what? We can go ahead and sell the carry. I know the carry's not exactly what we want to see, but just because we build more carry into the market doesn't mean that May or July corn is going to be higher at that time. You know, and so a grower right now that maybe they're harvesting some of their last stuff, if they're getting to the very end, their elevator's probably a narrow basis. You know, it's just usually what happens. Let's latch onto these last bushels. You know, but a lot of us have had 40 under basis levels this fall. And so when you're going in the bin at 40 under, then it's 410, for instance, you know, you're looking at 370 cash corn. Hey, you go out to July right now, as we talk, is 440. Are you going to get 10 under there or 15 under? Yeah, there's a decent chance. You know, typically in a year like this, when you get big carry in the market, you got a lot of stocks. They don't want your corn now. They're saying, hey, put the corn in the bin. We'll pay you to do it. Basis stinks at harvest because it's such a big crop. I'm not saying we're going to get any wild, crazy basis narrowing, but we're going to see basis narrow. It's just the way that the market usually works. And I would expect that a person be much happier with 440 minus, say, 20 at 420 than what they are at 370. And it'd be more than worth putting it in the bin. So I think those bushels at home, we've really got to think about how we want to manage them. And I do think that playing that carry game, the basis game, that's a really good way to quantify your risk and put some more money in your pocket.
How about over in the protein sector? I know hogs been on fire. Cattle, though, I've been a little concerned this week's price action. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with cattle. We've been up here in the high 180s, and we've been hitting up on some long-term resistance, and, you know, the funds are long. They've been long. They continue to push this long. I think you're getting to kind of an exhaustion deal here, Jesse, where people are saying, hey, if we're not going to kind of bust through and go up towards these old highs, we're getting tired of being long. And so I feel like it's just getting tired. You know, the hog market, I can never figure the hog market. I can tell you that right now. If someone says, what do I need to do? I like trading hogs. Find a new hobby is what I usually tell them to do, you know. But this hog market, it's been impressive. I mean, you know, you're still up here in the mid-80s. I mean, in my opinion, the upside is probably limited in here. You have to be heavily reliant, you know, on good exports. I think that that's a feature that we're going to need to see if we want to support these. I think the other thing that I kind of lean on sometimes is if the cattle market's still surging and still strong, I feel like you get some spillover support that kind of goes over towards hogs. And in the absence of that, I think that it's going to be maybe a little bit tougher sledding. So I'm not saying cattle are going to fall completely out of bed. I'm not saying that. But boy, if I'm someone with a lot of risk, I'm sure putting a floor under it with this blessing of a rally we've had, you know, into the high 180s again, because it wasn't so long we were in the high 170s. And that's still a nice price, but 10 bucks is 10 bucks.
Matt, we're up against the clock. Always appreciate your insight. I know folks want to take a look at your guys' intel, reach out for a conversation, or register for your conference in Nashville in the early part of 2025. They can do all that online, can't they?
Oh, yeah, at agmarket.net. And we've even got a guy that says he's a pretty good singer. It's going to help entertain us. I can't remember what his name is, but he's going to come entertain us. I think I'm looking at him right now, but I'm excited about it. We got a great lineup of speakers. So agmarket.net, you can find all about it there.
Oh, I'm looking forward to being there, and I'll try not to embarrass myself too much. Matt Bennett with agmarket.net. Yep. Thanks for joining us on AOA today, buddy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Up next, we'll talk with Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman here on AOA, powered by Cenex, right after this.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues today, powered by Cenex. Keep your operation moving with high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. It can help you manage risk and decrease your downtime, giving you peace of mind. Go to your nearest Cenex store location, talk to your local experts, or you can get more information online by visiting cenex.com. Well, as we continue here on AOA today, pleased to have join us right now for a conversation. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman is with us here today. And Congresswoman, thank you for being here. I hope you're doing well. I believe we have a Congresswoman still. Is she on the line? Congresswoman Hageman, are you still with us here? Okay, well, we are maybe having some connection issues. We'll try to get her reconnected with us on the line. Sounds like we're having a little trouble getting her, maybe some phone connection issues potentially. So we'll work on that. We'll see if we can get the Congresswoman back on with us here on AOA. I know, of course, watching a lot of things in the markets we talked about with Matt Bennett there in the first segment. With the end of the month and harvest wrapping up, that's going to be a big thing for some volatility here, as it always is. You get a lot of fund movement in the markets, moving around and working around with kind of that positioning the end of the month, and that's a big issue usually for money flow. And looking at Thursday's trade action early, a little bit of positive money flow in the row crops, not so much in the wheat trade, maybe taking back some of the early week premium, and kind of a mixed day in cattle and hogs. We did get news on Wednesday that H5N1 was detected for the first time in swine in Oregon. That announced by the USDA and the Oregon Department of Agriculture. First case, it was at a backyard flock. There is no concern for human health there, the pork supply and things of that nature. And the hog market just kind of quietly mixed. So seemingly digesting that news well, something we're going to keep an eye on. We are here on AOA. We're trying to get connected with Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. And I know we're working on getting her in here for this segment. So as we wait to get that connection, one other news note I'd share with you as well here this morning. We see that reports say agricultural companies like Cargill and Bunge are slowing their soybean purchases due to uncertainty over U.S. biofuels policy. Farm Policy News says some producers are putting off some purchases of soy oil for use early next year, which is also dampening demand for soybeans. By mid-October, most fuel retailers had only bought about 10% of their biodiesel feedstocks for the coming first quarter in 2025, and that compares with more than 80% bought by this time of year over the past 10 years. Very interesting. The industry is still waiting for the Treasury Department to issue guidance for the clean fuel production credit set to begin in January. Producers aren't eager to book a lot of soybean oil until that guidance is released. And industry insiders say if the Treasury doesn't release the regulations on the 45Z production credit soon, we could start to see some plants idle, including a 45 million gallon a year biodiesel plant in Northwest Iowa. So again, the need to get that 45Z tax credit guidance is going to be very, very crucial to expand that market. One other news note as well, as we watch the condition of the winter wheat crop, it's in much worse shape than expected. Drought has strengthened since the middle of this year throughout much of the rural areas, the plains, the Midwest, and there may be a break. We're seeing some rains this week for the central portion of the plains. That could help out that struggling winter wheat crop. But the most recent ratings show 38% of winter wheat in good to excellent condition. Pre-report estimates from industry analysts average 47%. Kansas in particular, which accounts for a quarter of all U.S. winter wheat, saw its crop rating at 38%, 2 percentage points below the five-year average. Last week, around 58% of U.S. winter wheat areas were experiencing drought, the largest number since 2023. Jesse Allen with you here on AOA, and I know we are working to get reconnected with Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. My producer, Paul Bougie, in the studio, working to get that connection. Do we have the Congresswoman yet? And it sounds like the phone lines, so we're having some issues with the phone lines. So We apologize. We were hoping to get the Congresswoman in here. We're trying to get something squared away here. We'll see if we can get connected with her yet before the end of this segment. But apologies there. Having a few technical issues. We're working on that in the studio. So we continue to take a look at news headlines. For the top 18 corn-growing states have 65% or less of their corn crop harvested. According to reports, of those top 18 states, Pennsylvania had the lowest percentage of corn harvested as of October 27th at 50%. That's still ahead of their five-year average by 6 percentage points and further ahead of last year's pace that saw 34% of the crop harvested by late October. Colorado had harvested 58% of its corn crop as of October 27th. It was only 1 percentage point behind its five-year average pace. Michigan farmers had harvested 62% of their corn, dramatically outpacing the five-year average of 35%. At this time last year, only 28% of the crop was harvested. Wisconsin farmers had completed 65% of their corn harvest compared to a five-year average of 35%. And Wisconsin farmers had 1.01 million acres still to harvest. The U.S. Poultry and Egg Association, the National Chicken Council, the National Turkey Federation, and the United Egg Producers have released an economic impact study of the poultry industry. The report highlights the positive impact the industry has on jobs, wages, and federal and state revenue in the U.S. The study breaks down the industry into three categories: broilers, turkey, and eggs. The broiler industry provides 1.376 million jobs, $90.9 billion in wages, $36.7 billion in government revenue, and $449 billion in economic activity. Nath Morris, president of U.S. Poultry, says, quote, "This tool shows the positive economic impact the poultry and egg industry has on our nations and community, our nation and communities, and we are pleased to continue providing it," end quote. Gary Kushner, interim president of the National Chicken Council, says, quote, "Our chicken producers have a positive impact that stretches from coast to coast. It's every sector of the economy and is felt in every congressional district," end quote. One other news note as well, as we're taking a look at headlines, the USDA is issuing payments this week to agricultural producers impacted by natural disasters. The assistance includes $143 million in crop insurance indemnities for Florida producers impacted by Hurricane Milton and over $92 million for livestock producers nationwide who have faced increased supplemental feed costs as a result of forage losses due to 2022 qualifying drought and wildfire events. So that news coming out from USDA. All right. Believe we have some of the technical issues fixed. We have just a couple minutes here. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman joining us. Congresswoman, apologies for the technical difficulties. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. That just happens. You know, you kind of have to go with the flow with these things.
Absolutely. That is the beauty of live radio, and unfortunately, since we're short on time, I know we'll reschedule more time with you, but I just want to ask you about the Pastures Act. You introducing that for private landowners here this week. Give us the rundown of what the Pastures Act is all about.
Well, in the western states like Wyoming, we have a huge federal footprint between BLM and Forest Service lands. And historically, those lands have been available for allotments. In other words, our farmers and ranchers have grazed those lands. But over the last 20 to 25 years, both the BLM and the Forest Service have continuously attempted to constrict our ability to access those lands, and they've done it a couple of different ways. One, they make it so that our producers have to put out later in the spring and bring their cows in earlier in the fall, so they're shortening the season. And then in other circumstances, they're outright just canceling the agreements, the allotments. And so we've seen this over time. You can see that literally millions of acres have been taken out of productive use for grazing by this mechanism. But the other problem is that the feds, the Forest Service, and the BLM take the position that it is the livestock producers, the landowners' obligation to fence out the federal lands. So if you've got BLM lands contiguous to you and there's no fence between your land and the BLM lands, And they cancel that lease, they cancel that allotment, then you could also be restricted from even being able to graze on your own lands, because they'll bring a trespass action against you if your cattle stray onto the Forest Service or the BLM lands. What the purpose of the Pastures Act is to make it so that as they constrain our ability to access and use these lands, it's the federal government that needs to fence out the private land, not the other way around.
Well, our segment's up against the clock. I'm going to send a note to your office. We're going to get you rescheduled here as soon as we can to talk more about that and other issues. Congresswoman, thanks for working with us with the technical difficulties. We'll get you back on the show for a full segment here again real soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Congresswoman Harriet Hagerman from Wyoming joining us on AOA. Up next, we'll talk with the Russell Group on AOA, powered by Cenex.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
OA.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikin. Set the Mercantile Exchange November milk down 12 to 2015, December down 14 to 1953, January down 7 to 1959, February down 10, also at 1959. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mixed. Feeder cattle markets were mostly lower on the day. Now, the trade is still watching some of the cash cattle markets. Looks like most of that, though, is done for the week. The southern live cattle were steady, but northern cattle were about $3 lower. Now, asking prices for show lists, though, were still a little bit higher, and that could help to support markets here late week. Hog markets, meanwhile, they moved mostly lower, especially in the nearby months. But the export inspections report showed 44,000 metric tons sold. That helped deferred contracts. October live cattle did close up 460 to 193. October feeder cattle up $1.02 to 250, 197. December hogs down 57 cents to 83.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets relatively flat in a sideways type of trade. Soybeans mostly higher due to strength in the vegetable oil markets. Wheat markets lower due to lower Russian wheat prices. New crop 25 corn up a quarter to 440 and three quarters. New crop 25 beans up 5 3/4 to 1033. December wheat up 2 3/4 to 570 and a half.
As the presidential campaign comes to a close, Kamala Harris is attacking environmental activist and presidential candidate Jill Stein. What's the truth? Kamala Harris has flip-flopped on the environment. Harris was opposed to fracking. Now she supports it. She supported the Green New Deal. Now she won't act on it. And what exactly has Kamala Harris done to stop PFAS, toxic forever chemicals, from leaking into our groundwater? Jill Stein will ban fracking, remove PFAS from our water, and pass the Green New Deal. And while Kamala Harris won't stop the genocide in Gaza and sides with Israel, Jill Stein will stop the genocide, demand Israel's ceasefire, and has a plan for peace. On November 5th, cast a true vote for the future of this country. Vote Jill Stein for president. Vote Green. Paid for by Badger Values. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Badger Values is responsible for the content of this advertising. BadgerValues.com.
As farmers and ranchers informed, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues today, brought to you by Cenex. Protect your equipment. Prepare for the unexpected with Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Visit your store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Jesse Allen back with you here. Apologies in the last segment. We had some in-studio technical issues with the phone lines. Gotta love technology sometimes not working the way we want it to, and that's the beauty of live radio. Sometimes things don't go as expected. So hats off to producer Paul in the studio. I know he's working hard, making things work. We'll get a conversation rescheduled with Congresswoman Harriet Hageman and get her back on the show again real soon. Let's continue the conversation today, and pleased to have join us. I thought we were going to maybe have a change here before the show, but he is able to join us as previously scheduled. Randy Russell with the Russell Group is with us here on AOA. Randy, good to have you back on the show. How are you, sir?
Hi, Jesse. Great to be with you. Doing wonderful here. Doing wonderful on October 31st in a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's October is wrapping up and going into November. And, of course, we are under a week away from Election Day. And now, for all intents and purposes, Randy, it's been a very interesting election cycle, to say the least. A lot of back and forth here, a lot of concern about the elections and more. So I guess from your perspective, as it relates to maybe agriculture, so to speak, I mean, what are you watching with the elections just around the corner?
Well, Jesse, two or three things. Obviously, there are vast differences in these two candidates for the presidency, and we can talk about that in a minute. I think the Senate right now is poised to flip from Democratic control to Republican control, primarily because of the West Virginia seat and the Montana seat. And then there's four or five others that are just razor thin. So I think the Senate is going to flip. The House is about as close, Jesse, as you can get. And there's going to be three or four seats in upstate New York currently held by Republicans that people need to watch. There are two in Iowa, and both on the Ag Committee. And then there's three or four in California. And I mentioned that, Jesse, because California now is notorious for late reporting of results. And if it's really close, it could be days, or I hate to even say it, could be longer than days before we actually know who controls the House of Representatives. I think at the presidential level, I think we'll know the results within two or three days. And it just seems, I don't look at any one poll, Jesse. I look at the trends. It just seems going into the last two or three weeks here, there seems to be a little bit of momentum in the Trump camp. And, you know, if I had to predict, I think that's probably the way this is going to go. But it's going to be very close, given that we have seven battleground states and it's razor thin.
Well, in thinking about those razor thin margins, not just on the presidential side, but as you indicated, with the Senate, with the House and more, that's going to have so many impacts as we move past the election. In terms of the presidential candidates, I know a lot of talk about tariffs and things of that nature. I mean, what's your perspective on that and some of the ag policy that's been, and the rural policy that's been put out there by the presidential candidates?
Yeah, Jesse, it's a great question, and you hear a lot about tariffs. You know, if President Trump were reelected and came back in, he has talked extensively about tariffs. I think people do need to think about it isn't just tariffs in and of itself, because just slapping a tariff on is clearly not something that is good for agriculture. If you are putting a tariff on a country where we're running a very large negative trade balance, and you're using that to try to get them to the negotiating table, that may be a different matter. I think that is the philosophy that the Trump folks have. I think we saw it when he was in from 2017 to 2020. And I think if he comes back in, he'll use that same approach to try to get trading partners where we're running very large negative trade balances to the table to try to open up markets and to balance out that trade.
We're talking with Randy Russell from the Russell Group here today on AOA. Randy, in terms of thinking about the farm bill, that's another issue that for everything we've heard, probably going to get another one-year extension in the lame duck session of Congress. But maybe you're hearing something different. I mean, is there any possible way we get a new five-year farm bill here after the election, or do we simply have to extend and seat new members of Congress and maybe even potentially start over a little bit?
Well, Jesse, when Congress comes back, which will be right after Veterans Day that week, the first thing the Republicans will do in caucus is elect new Republican leaders on the Senate side, because, as you know, Mitch McConnell is stepping down as leader. And so that's going to be between John Thune and John Cornyn and Rick Scott. And if I had to guess, I think John Thune's got the upper hand on that. And then the Republicans over in the House will caucus about the speakership. So that's the very first thing they have to do. There's also a huge focus on disaster assistance for wildfires that have previously occurred, and then compensating uninsured losses from all the hurricanes, most recently Helene that hit, as you know, Florida and West Georgia and the Carolinas and East Tennessee. So I think you're going to see a large disaster assistance package considered in a lame duck session. I'm not optimistic, Jesse, about getting a farm bill done. We got a bill out of committee on the House side during the summer with four Democratic votes. The Senate has not even released a bill, much less marked it up, much less either body taking it to the House and Senate floors. I just think it's a tall task to think we are going to finish a farm bill this year. So I believe we'll end up with an extension. Now, one thing we may see, Jesse, as part of a disaster assistance package, there may be an effort to take the increases in reference prices and the increases in marketing loans along the lines that were put in the House Agriculture Committee bill for wheat and corn, the feed grains, rice, cotton, et cetera, and for 1 year try to add that to the disaster assistance package. So I call that ag economic assistance, recognizing the low commodity prices. So there's a chance they may try to do that, and we'll keep our eye on that. But I think the chances of a five-year farm bill now are very, very slim, and I think we're going to end up with an extension before they leave for the year around Christmas.
Are you concerned, too, that if we extend and have to wait to a new Congress to get a five-year farm bill, depending on who is elected, we could have a number of members of Congress who've never worked on a farm bill? Obviously, Senator Stabenow on the Democratic side, she is stepping down. That could make for some interesting conversations in terms of a new five-year farm bill, couldn't it?
Yes. And even before this election, Jesse, just the current 118th session of Congress, half of the members of the House and about 35 to 40 members of the Senate had never voted on a farm bill before. So now you bring in 70 or 80 new members, and that's only going to be more dramatic in terms of the number of members in the House and Senate that weren't there when we voted on the 2018 bill. Remember also that we will have many new, regardless of whether it's Harris or Trump, we'll have many new cabinet members. We'll have sub-cabinet members. Those all have to be confirmed by the Senate. And you just think about a secretary and a deputy secretary at USDA and eight undersecretaries and a general counsel and an assistant secretary for congressional affairs. Those all have to have a hearing in front of the Senate Ag Committee and be approved. My point in all of this, Jesse, is not only are we going to have a lot of new members, but the time that the Senate Ag Committee is going to have to take considering nominations is going to be considerable the first half of the year. We also, as you said, Senator Stabenow is retiring. So there's either going to be a new chair or ranking member of the Ag Committee. It's rumored to be likely Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, and we'll see whether that pans out. But whoever it is going to also have to hire a staff. So I don't think when we come back come January 3rd and start the 119th session of Congress, we're going to immediately take up the farm bill. I just don't see that happening.
Well, and as we get up against the clock, too, you made some key points there that we're going to have a lot of new administration members and more. And I know in terms of who could lead USDA, that's going to be a big talking point. And so there's just a lot to take in here. Obviously, it's been an interesting cycle, and we'll see it all play out here over the next several weeks and months ahead, of course, with Election Day right around the corner. Randy Russell with the Russell Group, always good to talk with you, sir. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to getting you back on the show post the elections, and maybe we'll have a little clearer picture of the lay of the land, so to speak. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Always a pleasure.
Randy Russell with the Russell Group in Washington, D.C., joining us here today on AOA. Program brought to you by Cenex. They have what you need. Power through the season. Cenex stores greases have an enhanced additive package that provides better protection, allowing fleets to stay on the road. Visit Cenex.com for more. Up next, it is our sustainable soy update. We'll talk with Rob Ewald, farmer leader from Iowa for the United Soybean Board. That conversation comes your way next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Are you looking? Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false three different times. The journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you. But they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
For the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues today, powered by Cenex. What to know before selecting a tractor hydraulic fluid? Well, bargain tractor hydraulic fluids aren't worth the gamble. Trust your Cenex local experts. They'll get you the right fluids for your equipment. Go to your nearest store or Cenex.com for more. Well, it's time now for this week's Sustainable Soy Update as we discuss land use change initiatives. LUSI is what it's commonly referred to with United Soybean Board. Joining us for a conversation, he's a USB farmer leader and serves as the Infrastructure and Connectivity Work Group lead, Rob Ewalt from Iowa. Rob, great to have you with us here on this week's update. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse. Doing great. We're here in Des Moines today with the at the World Food Prize, so I'm taking that in for the first time ever.
Always a fun event there in Iowa's capital city with the World Food Prize, no doubt. Great to have you join from that event. Let's talk about LUSI a little bit, and maybe just for starters, what are some things you're doing on your farm to protect natural resources? Let's start there.
Oh, well, we're doing a lot when it comes to fertilizer application, when it comes to strip-till, no-till, cover cropping. We have installed a bioreactor on our farm, and in one farm that lent itself to that practice. Just trying to do a lot of different things, trying to utilize our fertilizer the best we can and get high efficiency rates out of it. And so, yeah, that's when we were at a LUSI conference, you know, the talk was, as we lose land, we need to produce more food. So it's all of the farmers' responsibility to try to get the most they can off of every acre. And so that's what we're trying to do, is maximize.
Well, thinking about that, I mean, how important is it to have some of that cross-sector collaboration, whether it's just in the ag industry, science, government, et cetera, and when it comes to preserving farmland and natural ecosystems? I mean, talk about that collaboration that's needed.
It is needed. I mean, when you look at production agriculture and who's involved in it, you know, 1.5 to 2% of the population, pretty small voice there, Jesse. And we need to get all parties on board to make a louder voice. And I realized that when we happened to be in Chicago at that conference. And there were there were NGOs there, there were industry there, there was government was there, and everybody is all on board. Now we just have to have good lines of communication. I think that's the one thing that I came away with, was understanding where other entities are coming from, and maybe I didn't see it quite that way. And we need to find the common ground and address the problem.
How do you see initiatives like LUSI impacting land use decisions on your farm specifically, Rob?
You know, on our farm, I'm not I'm not really seeing it. In our county, I see land use as, you know, we have a lot of solar that's wanting to be put up. We have a lot of warehousing that's wanting to be put up. And a lot of the people that were at this conference did not think that way. They were only thinking about the grasslands out west and protecting those, which is very important, don't get me wrong. But when we're losing 2,000 acres a day to concrete, to development from cities moving out in the United States alone, that's an issue that really needs to be addressed. And if you take that land away from production, where do we find those acres? We have to go to the fringe areas, or we have to produce more on every acre we have. So that's the challenge I take. That's the challenge a lot of farmers are taking, that they have to produce more with less.
We're talking with Rob Ewalt with the United Soybean Board here on this week's Sustainable Soy Update. Thinking about some of the practices that you mentioned that you have on your farm that help with Lucy initiatives, et cetera, and just preserving ag land. I mean, what are some of the insights you've gained from using some of these practices, Rob?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and when I talk to people and they come out and they tour our farm, is I tell them that we've been able to, through our farming practices, we've increased water infiltration into our farms, into our land. And when that water goes into the soil instead of across the top of the soil, we don't need as many grass waterway strips. When that water goes down, it can't move our soil away into the streams and cause issues. And therefore, it's holding more water. We're producing more grain because of it. I mean, we come into a drought year 2 years ago, and again in 2023, 2022, were both pretty dry years for us. It didn't affect our yields at all because of those practices we've put in, the water holding capacity that we have, the soil health that we have. It's a game changer. I just wish my father was alive to see some of the yields we're producing now, because I don't think he would believe it.
Thinking about investments the Checkoff makes to assist farmers in this area overall, I mean, talk about some of that in your role with USB, looking at some of this stuff.
Yeah, so we're always looking at investments and education to the farmers, to the members of our Soybean Association, to the United Soybean Board in particular, is that we want to show them how to utilize some cover crops. What are some advantages? What are some things that we've learned that we don't want other farmers to make that mistake going down that road? You know, it can be kind of costly when you start looking at conservation practices. And so we're always doing some research, trying to figure out what's the best bang for the farmer's dollar to move the needle forward when it comes to conservation, sustainability, whatever buzzword you want to use in that. So,
well, I know folks can find more information about Lucy, the Land Use Change Initiative, at carbonalist.com. You can also find more details for the United Soybean Board, of course, at unitedsoybean.org. Rob, before we let you go, we got about 30 seconds here. Anything final you'd want to add, just thinking about Lucy and more?
You know, the biggest takeaway is the conversations that need to be had with other entities, NGOs. There's going to be places that we don't agree. I get that, but there are places where we can all agree, and we need to have that line of communication open to try to bring all parties on board, because that's the only way we're going to protect this crop ground, protect the environment, is with a team effort.
Rob Ewalt with the United Soybean Board, thanks for joining us here on this week's Sustainable Soy Update on AOA. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
And you can find more again online, unitedsoybean.org, or go to carbonalist.com for more information. That is this week's Sustainable Soy Update here on AOA. We're out of time on today's show, brought to you by Cenex. Coming up on our next program, we'll have our Farmer Rancher Roundtable, and we'll talk with Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. That's going to do it for AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to...
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned